evening, everyone, and welcome to our first podcast episode for WG CompSci for Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. In the future, our new episodes will be released each Sunday evening. WG CompSci stands for Webster Groves Computer Science, and that is exactly what this podcast is all about. Everything computer science in the classroom today. My name is Mark Young, and I am a computer science, information technology, and business education teacher at Webster Groves High School in Webster Groves, Missouri. I've been teaching computer topics for the past 15 years and hope to share with you what I have learned in the past, what we are learning right now, and what we hope to learn in the future. This podcast will cover everything from Java programming, game design fundamentals with Unity 2D and 3D, along with the C# language, web design with HTML, CSS, JavaScript, C++ programming, AP computer science, computer operating systems, and so much more. Each week, we will pick one pressing topic that was discussed during the week and focus on it in our newest podcast. We hope you enjoy and tune in each Sunday evening. Let's get started. This week, our focus is on game design with Unity 2017. We're going to focus on the distinction between colliders and rigid bodies. Now, this podcast is important for both 2D game designers and for 3D game designers, as colliders and rigid bodies are used in both. So what are we talking about here? Well, if you're new to Unity, Unity is a somewhat free platform designed for both beginning and advanced game designers to make platform games, console games, you name it. You can make 2D games, and we can make 3D games. And in the Unity environment, it's a combination of drag-and-drop graphics that you've made in outside programs like Inkscape or Adobe Illustrator, and you'd also have the ability to connect to Visual Studio and do some C# programming. And all of that is tied together to produce a game. Well, rigid bodies are objects that are available in Unity over in the inspector that you apply to any game object that you plan to animate or to move. Now, when I say animate, I'm not talking about animations. That's a whole other podcast. What I mean is if you have a main player, a game player, or an enemy character that you intend to move any distance away from where it starts off in the scene, you're going to need a rigid body. A rigid body, again, is the object that you encapsulate your object with, and you can apply matters such as mass. How heavy is your object if it were to fall from the sky? We have gravity, whether or not your character is drawn to the ground or drawn to a horizon. And we have the ability to determine whether or not the character has constraints, such as is it allowed to rotate, is it not allowed to rotate? Is the character stuck in one spot, or is it allowed to move? So that's the significance of a rigid body. Anytime you have something that you want to be able to move in world space, you are going to need a rigid body. Okay, so then what is a collider, and how do you know how many colliders you need? Well, a collider is used in addition to a rigid body for any character or game object that you intend to have collisions with. For instance, if we use Super Mario Brothers for an example, if we are concerned about whether or not Mario is able to jump up on a sewer pipe as opposed to being able to walk right through the pipe, we need to be able to detect a collision. We need to know when Mario's graphic collides with the sewer pipe. So any two objects that are not allowed to just walk right through one another and are stopped the minute they touch each other, we want to add a collider. Now, there are a lot of different types of colliders, and I'll talk about the few that my students use the most, and that is the box collider. The box collider simply means that it puts a box completely around your character that is transparent when the game is produced, and that collider, when touching other colliders, will prevent any part of the character that is inside that square from being able to walk through another character. Now, another one that we use is a polygon collider, and a polygon collider allows you to uniquely identify all of the parts of the character that you want to make collidable. Really, a polygon collider, if I put it in a nutshell, allows you to more precisely define the boundaries of the collider on your character. A traditional box collider is rectangular. Well, your character, unless he's a box, is not going to be rectangular. And so if it's Mario, his arm is going to stick out further than his head. But the box collider is going to say that if you come close to the head in the same distance away that you would from the hand, it's going to be a collision. And so some of my students will say, well, I'm going to use a polygon collider because that allows me to be much more precise. And so take a look at the polygon collider. It allows you to actually go right around the boundaries of a character and be able to determine exactly where you want collision points to be. Now, it's important to note that simply applying a rigid body, which is required to move the character, and a box collider, which determines if there was a collision, those two things combined together are not going to move your character. You're still going to need to make a C-sharp script, which in my class we often call a character move script, that will connect to the graphical rigid bodies and box colliders and allow you to apply physics forces. And that happens on the programming side. I always tell my students, you know, it's not like Scratch where you just simply drag and drop and you build a game. This is real game design, where you're bringing in your own artwork. You are going to have to do programming. Really, that's the most important part of developing these games, is coming up with your own unique logic that brings your artwork to life. I hope this has helped distinguish the differences between a rigid body and a box collider, because it is one of the topics that I cover with my both intro game design 1 students who start off with 2D development, and with my 3D students. We always have to kind of go back and review. Rigid body, you apply to anything you want to be able to script to move, and box colliders are used anytime you want to be able to, detect if there's a collision. You're going to need a script to handle what happens if there's a collision. So without the script, it just means the characters can't move. But if you add a second box collider on, say, your main character, and check the is trigger box, that's going to allow you to script what happens if they collide. Not just that they can't walk through each other, but what's the cause and effect relationship? Maybe when Mario touches Koopa in Super Mario Brothers, that collision is going to cause Mario's health to decrease, or maybe Mario's character unfortunately dies immediately. So again, box colliders are used to determine what happens if there's a collision, how you want it to be handled, and you can script that using a function like void on trigger enter 2D, or in 3D, just void on trigger enter. A whole lot of things you can do there. The rigid body, really important. You want to add that to anything you want to move. If you are developing a 2D game, you want to make sure you choose the rigid body 2D. And if you're developing a 3D game, it's important that you choose just a rigid body. And sometimes my students intermix those and they say, why did Unity put 2D after the rigid body for 2D games and not 3D after the 3D games? Well, it's simply because Unity was originally developed for 3D games and they did not have the afterthought to think, oh, maybe there's going to be a 2D environment for later. 2D development came much later, and so therefore they were kind of modifying all of their 3D objects so that they would work in a two-dimensional world. Please feel free to email me at young.mark@wgcloud.org if you have any additional questions about rigid bodies and box colliders. They're really pretty fascinating, and it's one of the really interesting things about Unity is that it's really pretty simple to apply. We want to thank you for tuning in and remind you that we release a new episode each Sunday evening. We thank you all for joining us here at WG Comp Sci Podcast. Have a great week.